Earl doesn't believe in selkies. The only skins women in his village discard are covered in scales, separated from juicy white flesh at the points of their gutting knives. Twice a day, fisherwives make short work of the fleet's catch. Dawn and dusk see them straddling mermaids' torsos, cleaning plump tails with efficient, intuitive slices. Thigh-length fillets slap into piles on the jetty, while bloodless heads, gray shoulders, and breasts splash back into the ocean. Waters churn as surviving merfolk wrestle to feed on the scraps. Around here, seals are a rare sight. He's watched local women work countless times, always removing skins, tossing them seaward, never donning them. Even so, for 6 nights running, he set out with Filcher's crew, armed with gobbets of red meat, not yet turned rancid, to placate the region's mermaids. To distract them, while a ship's worth of men hunt for Odessa, his absentee wife. "I feel trapped," she'd told him a week ago. "Just you wait, Earl. We'll find that silky bitch." Earl's bearded jaw clenches every time Filcher speaks. No skipper should care so much about his first mate's misses. Filcher's expression is haunted. The lines in his face, weathered as canyons, are depthless in the moonlight. His palms are rubbed raw from handling salt-crusted nets, as are the rest of the crew's. Earl's scarred knuckles whiten. His broad fingers crack into fists. "I just need some space," Odessa had said. "You can't leave," he'd replied, quietly, to avoid waking the children. "Two black bobbers," the captain barks, "off the starboard bow." Earl grunts, ignores the note of hope in Filcher's voice. Odds are the fisherman's spotlight will sweep across a pair of buoys or a brace of seagull corpses. Sure as hell won't be a couple of selkies. He leans against the larboard rail and waits for the string of curses that will confirm his doubts. No, Earl doesn't believe in women zipping themselves into magic seal skins, swimming off, never to return. However, Filcher, still duped by fickle love, does. As do Earl's children. The captain's wild story, Earl had thought, was the perfect explanation. The truth was too painful. So he'd lined his kids up first thing in the morning, 5 boys and 1 girl, on the wooden blanket box that sat at the foot of his empty bed. The eldest lifted the youngest onto his lap. Their high cheekbones and dark hair were so like Odessa's it hurt Earl to see them. Then 12 bleary eyes focused. "You're stifling me," she'd said. In all his life, he'd never spun such an important tale. What was it Filcher had told him? What had the skipper said his girl had done? Earl had to get the details straight. Breathing deeply, he inhaled the present and expelled the past. The room smelled of pine and lemon, detergent and salty air. Comforting, scrubbed clean scents he'd prayed would bleach the previous night from his memory. The kids didn't notice his jitters. Instead, their eyes had grown wide, then wider as he settled into his story. They'd all heard of selkies, even Pearl, who'd only started school that year, but they'd had no idea their ma was one of them. Warming to his lie, Earl told them how bewitching Odessa had been at 17, how she'd always been tempted by shoremen like him, how she'd shed her ravaged sealskin and promised any repayment for saving her from the mermaids. Only one thing would make him happy, he decided then, and that was to keep her. All to himself. "There's someone else," she'd said. They'd married before the week's end. He'd taken her home, locked her pelt away in the very box upon which the children now sat. It was for her own good. He would keep it safe to keep her from further temptation. A fisherman's life wasn't exciting, but Odessa had seemed content. Earl did his duty, filled her belly with child after child. She'd been too busy to grow bored, or so he'd thought. But as her shore children grew, her thoughts turned to the infants she'd left behind in the sea. No doubt they'd wound up victims to merfolk if they'd somehow survived all these years alone. Her imagination strayed, as it had the day she'd met Earl, taking her to unexplored realms. Her mind wandered. Her body followed soon after. "It's over. Let me go." She had sworn she didn't love the 6 barons on land any less than the 6 in the deeps. but it was the latter's turn for attention, for her time and protection. Nothing could change her mind. Nothing did. And so she'd left. Forever? The kids had asked. Yes, forever. Can we have her skin? The magic one, with the flippers and whiskers and tail? We could put it on. We could find her. She took it with her, didn't she? He'd said, his voice wavering, gaze dropping to the blanket box. The minute I turned my back, we were betrayed. Let me go, Earl. You should have held her tighter, Di. You should have made her stay. I tried, honest. But what are we going to do now? Let me go. Forget her. The kids wailed. Their grief reached a decibel that could shatter ice. It echoed across the bay, caught Filcher's ear, dragged him around to Earl's cabin. Odessa? The captain had called, throwing the familiar door wide. Love, what's wrong? What's... Earl had looked at his friend, at his skipper, their faces mirrors of bewilderment. Filcher's head whipped from side to side, his chest heaved from exertion, but also distress. No one would run so quickly, barge into another man's house so easily, unless he'd had good reason. Understanding crept across Earl's features, weighing him down, leaving him listless. Save your breath, mate. She's gone. Mama's a sea monster, Pearl cried, tears gobbing down her face. She's took her skin and skipped out on us, back to them watery kids. For a moment, Filcher's expression matched that of the girl's, then his flushed face had purpled with anger. Goddamn silkies! The kids flinched in unison and fell silent. Earl had remained still, his fury already spent. Nothing could be done about Filcher's trespass, not now. I can't breathe, she'd said. Fuck that, Earl. We're getting her back soon as dark hits. Earl, I can't breathe, he'd nodded, despite his exhaustion. You'd best prepare for a long night then, mate. Caught anything for us? The fisherwives' blades glint peach and rose in the sunrise, their cutting edges smeared with raw innards. Nah, Earl says. Skipper's got us fishing for a ghost. The women click their tongues, shake their heads knowingly. Them ghosts is more trouble than merfolk, but don't yield nowhere near as much meat. They say phantom flesh lasts for 8 days, Earl replies. Two more nights of this shit and I'm done. Two more nights, he thinks, feet dragging. His boots crunch up the shale path home, an exhausted sound like grinding bones. His heart races as he approaches the front door, but when he enters, the house is quiet as a secret. The children don't stir as he wakes the sitter, sends her away with a pocket full of coins. Performing a ritual that's taken less than a week to become habit, Earl closes and locks his bedroom door, opens both windows to let in the fresh morning air. He undresses and folds his clothes, crouches naked in front of the blanket box, and turns the key. Inside, his hand brushes the softest skin he's ever touched, even fairer now for lack of blood. Salting has kept the smell down, but has stiffened the meat. He sweeps long chestnut curls to one side of the plastic-lined compartment, a tender but functional caress. Moving quickly, he hacks away chunks of stomach and hip for tomorrow's bait. Two more nights and the evidence will be gone, leaving only the shell of his heartbreak. Arms that had lost their embrace long before they were stilled, legs without promise of happiness. An empty, beautiful, soulless face. Let me go. He shuts the box's lid and climbs into bed. In his dreams, hinges whine and fingernails scrape against wood. A muffled voice echoes, begging forgiveness. Over and over, scratching and creaking and mumbling, until waves pound it all to silence.